For the entire month of February, I was preaching through the parables of Matthew 13. There's one left, and I was going to skip it, but changed my mind. We've got a missionary coming next week, and I thought I might as well continue this series up until then. So we're going to take the last of those parables, which is the mystery of the dragnet. And it's found in Matthew 13, verses 47 through 50. And I want to read the passage, and then we'll go back and we'll look at the meaning of the text. So Matthew 13, beginning with verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us direction and ideas about what the end time is going to look like. And Father, you answer so many questions with these things, and yet sometimes we don't take the time to put the answer with the question. And so, Father, I pray today as we study this passage that you may help us to have an open heart to what your Holy Spirit may speak to each of us. And, Father, that we would have an open mind to your truth. And, Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This parable is very similar to another parable that we looked at earlier in Matthew 13, the parable of the wheat and the tares. And it has to do with the people of God being associated with the wicked of this world. And if you don't understand that, then you may not understand how things are. People are always talking about how evil the church is, how bad the church is, how awful there are that hypocrites are living in the church or going to the church. And so people are disturbed by these types of things, and yet if they know what the Bible has to say, they're not going to be surprised by the fact that both evil and good exist together. So it says here that the good and the bad are pulled together in the net. We are to be in this world, but not of it. We are to be in this world, but we're not supposed to have the world in us. It's sort of like if you're out in a boat, you want your boat in the water, but you don't want the water in the boat. The boat in the water, that's a good thing, but water in the boat, that's not a good thing. I remember several years ago, I was out in the middle of a big lake, Lake Elephant Butte in New Mexico, and I was in a small 12-foot boat with a little bitty electric motor on the back of it, and a storm had come up and caught us out in the middle of this lake. And we were doing our best to get to shore, but that little engine just wasn't pushing it. And the waves were coming over the back of the boat. So we had our boat in the water, but we were getting water in the boat too. And the friend that I was with was up on the front seat, and he had a coffee can, and he was dipping whole buckets of water out of the boat as fast as he could, trying to keep us afloat. And I was pushing that little engine, trying to get us out of there. And about that time, lightning struck, I don't know, maybe 100 feet away from us. Really loud, booming sound. Scared me. Shocked me. And I looked over at my buddy, Stan, and it was a Friday afternoon. And our wives had gone shopping because it was, it was Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. And so our wives were both shopping, and we'd gone to the lake while they had gone shopping. And I looked over at Stan, and he said, "It sure beats shopping." No matter how bad it got, it was still better than going shopping. Going fishing, that was it. So they had their, we had our boat in the water, and yet we were getting water in the boat. And in our life, sometimes we get a little bit of the world in us, and we try to get it out. We try to dip it out. In this parable, the point that I'm trying to make is that the good and the bad exist together. There's no transition from good to bad in this parable. There's no transition from bad to good in this parable. It just says they both exist, and they will exist until the end comes. We rub shoulders with, we live among people who do not believe, and we will be among them until the final judgment. The illustration of the dragnet was taken from everyday life. Jesus had fishermen in his inner circle of disciples, the 12. Many of them were fishermen. And a dragnet was just one of many types of nets that fishermen used in that time. There was also a casting net that they would throw out, and it would form a big circle, and the weights would cause it to sink down. It would capture the fish as they pulled it back up. And the more common net, though, that they used was this dragnet. And the kingdom of heaven, according to our text, is like a dragnet that is being pulled across the earth. So if you can imagine, over the centuries, a dragnet that has been scooping on the earth, and that is the kingdom of God, as it is drawing men to judgment. And one day, the net is going to come up on the shore, and everything is going to be sorted out. So in this parable, there are five things that I want to discuss. And the first is the net. The net was about 750 to 1,000 feet long. This was no small net. Now, many of you may have used dragnets, you know, or you may still use them. I don't know. They still sell them. They call them a seine. And so it'll have a pole on either end, and you'll take this seine, and you'll have one person walk on one side of it, and another person walk on the other side of it, and they'll walk up in a little bay area and seine minnows. And once you get everything that you can get out of there, you pull it up on the shore, and you start pulling out whatever you've got in there and putting it in your minnow bucket. We also used to use these types of dragnets to seine crawdads out of the ditches back in New Mexico. And so you carry it, you pull it up on the shore, and you sort it out. Well, these nets were about 1,000 feet long. They would be 5 foot wide on each end and then up to 25 foot wide out in the middle. It's a huge net. There would be, back in those days, there would be corks on the top of the net. Today they put styrofoam floats on the top of the net. And then they would have rocks, you know, small rocks or lead weights of whatever kind they could find to put on the bottom of the net to keep the bottom of the net low and the top of the net up high. And then pull the net and catch everything that's in the way. So it's like a huge wall of fabric made out of string, made out of rope, and it's virtually impossible to escape. You can't get around it. You can't get over it. You can't get under it. It's gonna get whatever is in its path. And this dragnet that we're talking about, nobody's going to escape. Nobody will escape God's judgment. If you're a believer in Christ, you'll be saved at the judgment. If you're not a believer, you'll be cast into the fire at the judgment, but you will not be able to escape the net. Several years ago, my cousin's ex-husband called my aunt, and he had been drinking, and he was pretty messed up, and he was angry with her. And he was telling her, he knew she went to church, and he knew that she believed that sometimes God spoke through people. And so he was telling her, God's going to get you. God's going to send a storm, a terrible storm. And that storm is going to come through and tear up everything around you. And all of Cross Plains is going to be demolished by that storm. The entire state of Texas is going to be demolished by that storm, and it's going to get you. And she finally says to him, well, what about you? And he says, oh, I live in Potosi, which was right down the road from her. I live in Potosi. Well, people get the wrong idea sometimes that they're going to be able to get away from God's judgment. It's just not going to happen. There's no way to get out of this dragnet. The second thing I want to discuss this morning is the sea. In this parable, it represents all of mankind. All kinds of fish in the sea. Likewise, there are all kinds of sinners in the world. In our eyes, some are worse than others. In our eyes, some deserve more punishment than others. But in the eyes of God, there are those that go to hell and those that go to heaven. And there's no in between. And if you don't think there's sinners in this world, all you need to do is read the newspaper or listen to the news. Another thing that the sea speaks of is a restlessness or an uneasiness. And surely in this world there's a lot of restlessness and uneasiness. In fact, I don't know about you, but I have difficulty watching the news for very long at a time. I just get so agitated over all the things that I see going on in our world. I can listen to about 5 to 10 minutes of it, and I've had enough. I just get up and pray and say, Lord, you take care of it. If there's something I really need to know, then let somebody call me and tell me, but I am tired of this. I get agitated at all the uneasiness in our world. The sea speaks of danger, and there's a lot of danger in our world. A lot of danger, especially for those who don't know Jesus, the ultimate danger. The fish, point number three, the fish, they are the people who are caught in the net. And as I've already said, none will escape. Verse 47 says they are of every kind. There's two basic kinds, bad and good, but they are of every kind when it comes to different kinds of sin. Those that are good are those who truly are saved and have faith in Jesus Christ. And those that are called bad are those who have never been born again, never been saved from their sins. They are corrupt, and they're destined for the fire, according to our text. The fourth thing I want to talk to you about is how they draw the net up on the shore, and they begin to sort out the fish, the sorting. So just as the good and the bad fish are separated, there's going to come a time of separation of the saved and the lost, and it will be at the end of the world, according to the text. But the word that is translated, the term that is translated world here is actually aeon, and it means the end of the age. When the fullness of the Gentiles is come in. It's how Romans 11:25 puts it. This has to happen because God's justice must be appeased. Have you ever heard anybody say, how can there be wickedness in this world? Have you ever heard anybody say, why do the wicked get away with so much? I mean, the Democrats, they look at at Donald Trump and say, how can he get away with all of that? And the Republicans look at Nancy Pelosi and they say, how can she get away with all of that? So both sides are looking at the other and saying, how can they get away with all of these things? How can that happen? Well, there's going to be a day when things are sorted out. When I was growing up, I used to hear my mom and dad use a term that one day all of that man's chickens are going to come home to roost. You ever hear that phrase? All his chickens are going to come home to roost. Well, we raised some chickens when I was growing up, and I finally figured out what that meant. You see, the chickens are out in the yard during the day. They're out in the orchard during the day. They run through the garden. They go out in the field. They're all over the place during the day. And then during the evening, they come back to the hen house and they roost. And if you want to count the chickens, you'll never get an accurate count of them during the day because they're all over the place. You may count the same one two or three times. But at night, they come home and they roost, and you can actually get a decent count of how many chickens you have at night. Well, if we want to get an accurate accounting of sin or of Christians, it's difficult today because everybody's going hither and yon. But there's going to come a day when things are sorted out and nothing will be hidden. Nobody's going to be out in the garden. Nobody's going to be left out in the field, the orchard, the yard. Everything will be in one place at the same time to be counted, and it will all be sorted. So, how can God allow the wicked to survive? The fact is, they won't always. There will come a day when they have to pay. There's a payday someday. How can God's justice put up with that? Well, God's justice has patience. But eventually, all the accounts will be settled. Point number five is the furnace of fire. The furnace, mentioned in verse 50. It says, the bad fish shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Can we pull up verse 50 again, Clyde? Shall cast them into the furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So the Lord made it clear in this section that it is a terrible thing to be lost. We're in the middle of a pandemic, and we've had a lot of different things that science has told us during this pandemic. At one time, they told us that the COVID virus was transferred by contact with plastic or paper. They had people bringing their Amazon packages inside and letting them set for days before they would touch them, or spraying them down with alcohol and different things before they would touch them, because they thought that was the way that the virus was transmitted. And then they told us, no, that's not how it happens. It happens because it's airborne. And so they told us, well, everybody has to wear a mask. And then they said, everybody needs to wear two masks. And then they said, everybody needs to wear two masks and a face guard. And then I look around at these people who are telling us that we have to wear two masks and a face guard, and they're not wearing them. So I'm thinking, well, maybe it's important to wear a mask. I don't want to get COVID. So there are certain places when I go there, I'll wear a mask. But when I'm around people that I know, I hardly ever wear a mask. But my point is, I wear the mask from time to time because I don't want to get the virus. I don't want it. And science has flip-flopped on it. You know, over the years, science has had a lot of things that they've been unsure about. The atom bomb was one of them. They weren't sure what was going to happen when they dropped the atom bomb. They were not sure. When they blew that bomb up out at White Sands Missile Range, they didn't know for sure what was going to happen. When they dropped that bomb on Japan, both of them, they were not sure how much devastation it was going to cause. They didn't know. You know what else they weren't sure about? Birth control pills. They didn't know what it was going to do to women. They didn't know. They just thought that the benefits outweighed the possible side effects. So they did it. Another thing they're not sure about, science does not know the ultimate effects of germ warfare. Science doesn't know everything. And so we're left guessing. And we make our best decisions that we can make based on the information that we have. Well, there's a lot of people out there that are guessing about this fiery furnace, this place that we otherwise call hell. And there are many people who are saying it doesn't exist, and actually it's pretty suave and sophisticated to not believe in hell nowadays. There are a lot of preachers who don't want to preach about hell because it's offensive to some people. They don't want to admit that they believe in it if they do. And they certainly don't want to try to convince other people to believe in it because it's just not very sophisticated to believe in a place called hell. How could a good God ever send somebody to hell? Somebody asked me that just this past week. I said, he doesn't. They send themselves there. He makes every possibility for us to get out of going to hell. He makes it so easy. He makes it by a free gift of his grace. He sent his son to die on the cross so that we wouldn't have to go there. But don't think for a minute that it's not real. Why do I wear a mask when I go in Walmart sometimes? I don't know what's in there. I don't know who I'm going to run into that may be coughing and have COVID. I don't know what's there. Why do I wear a mask when I go to a doctor's office where there's a bunch of people sitting around in a lobby coughing and sniffling? I don't know if one of them may have COVID. I don't want it. I don't want whatever they have. I don't want it. I don't want to take a chance. Am I sure I'm going to get it? No. But there's a possibility, and I don't want it. Are you certain 100% that there is a hell? Well, I'm pretty sure there is. I've never seen it. I've never been there before, but I trust the Bible, and it says there is. And so I'm going to act like there is. Is there going to be a fiery judgment? Well, the Bible says there is, and I believe the Bible. So I'm going to act like there is. So the scientists may say, we don't know this, we don't know that, we don't know whatever, but I'll tell you what, the Bible is pretty certain about the fact that there is a hell. And you can choose to act or respond in whatever way you want. But if you act like there's no hell and you deny Jesus Christ, it's going to be very bad if you find out there is a hell. But if for some odd way the Bible was wrong, which I doubt that it is, I don't think it is, but if the Bible was wrong about hell and it doesn't exist and you got saved in order to avoid it, how bad is that going to hurt you when you die? It's not. What have you lost? Nothing. But if you denied the existence of hell and you didn't get the remedy, which is accepting Jesus Christ and the finished work of Christ on the cross to pay the price for your sins, if you didn't accept Jesus, and then you find out there is a hell, you've lost everything. You've lost it all. And you wind up in the fiery furnace. So our parable tells us that there is a dragnet that is currently going through the earth, and one day it's going to stop and pull up on the shore, and everything's going to be sorted out. And that day is getting closer and closer every day. Are you ready? Have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Are you prepared for that day? Praise God. I want to invite anyone who is listening to me online to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life today. To accept what he has done for you so that when you're drawn up in that dragnet at the end of the age, that you will be good and not bad. That you'll be the good fish and not the bad fish. That you will be accepted into God's kingdom rather than rejected into the fiery furnace. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then I invite you to do that right now. Would you pray with me? Would you just simply say, Heavenly Father, I know I am a sinner. I believe Jesus died for me and shed his blood to put away my sin. And I now receive him as my Lord and Savior. With your help, Lord, I'm going to live for you and tell others about you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed that prayer for the first time, the Bible speaks of how the angels in heaven are celebrating the fact that you've made Jesus Lord of your life. And you may not understand all there is to know about it, but if you'll call someone here at the church or send us a message through Facebook or whatever you're listening to, send us an email, we'll be happy to discuss this more with you. God bless you. And those of you who are here in attendance, we've come to the time in our service when we're going to have communion.